This morning I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, which happens to be Pastor Chris's chosen study Bible version. The first passage I'll be reading is Colossians 2, 1-7, and then I'll be moving over to Hebrews 10, 19-25. Again, this is in the New Revised Standard Version. For I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you, and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit. And I rejoice to see your morale and the firmness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Hebrews 10. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
We have been preaching through our vision statement. These last 2 weeks, we have been looking at the area where we want to grow. We will make room in our lives and calendars to engage in discipleship and hospitality. And before that, we considered how we are to see ourselves. We are a family gathered in the name of Jesus, led by the Spirit, desiring God. That is who we are. Today, we look at the last line of our vision statement. From the richness of our life together, rooted in Christ, we will make known the good news of Jesus to the lost and the broken. Here is where we want to end up. Being the family of God, engaging in discipleship and hospitality will lead us to being one body, rooted in Christ, enjoying rich fellowship, and sharing what we have found in Jesus with the lost and the broken. This is the final sermon in this series, but it is not the end of our reflection on the scriptural call of God to us as a congregation. We will continue to engage with our vision statement. For example, this Tuesday we are having our annual budget meeting. And part of the discussion will be asking, do our financial priorities line up with our vision statement? And our hope and our prayer from this sermon series will be that this call of God will get into our heads, it will get into our hearts, our imaginations, and will be a guide for our life together, our shared ministries, and in our own homes and neighborhoods. So let us see what this passage from Colossians and the passage from Hebrews tell us about being rooted in Christ, the riches we have, and how we are equipped to offer hope to the lost and the broken. So what does it mean to be rooted in Christ? In the New Testament, when writers talk of what it means to be a faithful disciple, often the term in Christ is used. Some examples: we are saved in Christ, we're made new in Christ, we are forgiven in Christ, we are reconciled in Christ, we are one in Christ. And the imagery Paul uses in describing us as rooted in Christ tells us that Christ is our source, our life. Everything we need comes from him. Not only are we provisioned by our roots, but our roots also ground us. Think of how we ask one another, where are your roots? Where is home for you? In Christ, we settle in and find our home. The imagery is of a living and ongoing relationship of dependence, not a one-time deal. In John, Jesus uses a similar image when he explains, I am the vine and you are the branches. And so abide in me as I abide in you. Abiding or being rooted in Christ is the ongoing work of our faith, necessary for our salvation. Our work is to stay connected. And through the ongoing nourishment of Christ, Jesus will bring us to maturity in faith. To be rooted in Christ is to place our confidence in Jesus and nowhere else. To be rooted in Christ means we hold loosely to everything else so we may cling to Christ. This doesn't mean we don't have other meaningful relationships and values. It does mean that we place Jesus above them all. For Jesus tells us that if we are abiding in him, if we are rooted in him, we will follow his commandments. This means we need to know the commandments of Jesus, reading and studying his teachings and who he is. If we love him, if we are rooted in him, we will want to know who he is all the more, ever growing in desire. One caution. There are many practices we have and are given that help us connect to God and keep us rooted in Christ. But let's make sure that we do not begin to value the practice over its purpose. We have scripture we can study. There's these times of worship and fellowship, and many other things we do deepen our roots in Christ. But as people, we are very good at making idols, and we can even use these great and good things to confuse the means with the destination. Imagine meeting somebody who has a marvelous map to a wonderful place. At first, this person is excited to study the map and to find and explore where it leads, and their days are full of adventure in this amazing place. But over time, this person spends more and more time poring over the map, losing interest in all the beauty of the place where the map directs. How sad it would be to understand the map only as an end unto itself rather than as a guide to greater things. We will be talking about the richness of our life together. And we need to keep this in mind for this too. Our fellowship and the community we have is wonderful and good and right. But we can begin to value the community over its maker, who is the reason for our community. So what are some other things that we can become rooted in other than in Christ? What are some practices that we begin to value as an end unto themselves, rather for the ways in which they direct us to God? Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, gives us a practice to help us stay focused on Christ. The passage that was read ends with this call to be abounding in thanksgiving. A person, a people, a church rooted in Christ is a church that gives thanks. It recognizes all the ways that we are rooted in Christ, all the gifts of God, and thanksgiving directs us rightly from the gift to the giver. If we are going to be rooted in Christ, we will be abounding in thanksgiving because we realize that what we have in Christ we can never say thanks enough. We realize from being rooted in Christ that in him we are rich. How are we rich? Well, we have Christ. And to know Christ is to be in his church. As such, we are all rooted together in Christ. And to be in the church is to experience the richness of Christ. Paul's language in this passage is plural. The riches that God has in Christ Jesus are for his church, his people. The you are plural yous. So we find and experience this richness together as his church. It's reflected in our vision statement. It is as we are rooted in Christ with the church that we encounter the riches of Christ. Paul shares with the Colossians that his desire is that the church would be encouraged and united in love so they would have all the riches that God has for them. There is a deep connection between the church being united in love in Christ Jesus and the riches God has for them. So what does God have for the church in Christ Jesus? We have the riches of assured understanding. Together, we share the assurance that what we have been given is of God. We read this in verse 6. of the letter to the Colossians 2, verse 6. As therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Church, you can have the full assurance that the good news of Jesus you have received is true and good and of God. And being confident of what we have received, rooted in Christ, we continue to grow where we are with the knowledge we have been given. Later on in his letter to the Colossians, Paul writes, therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Some of the Colossians were at risk of moving beyond thinking Christ is enough, all-sufficient, ever-dependable. They were allowing others to teach them that extra customs and practices were needed to be confident of the assurance of faith we have in being in Christ. Not so. Christ is all we need. Another of God's riches for his church is the knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Mystery here doesn't mean something that will never be solved. It is something that can only be known through revelation. Christ Jesus is God's revelation of who he is. We need no other revelation. For in him, Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. From Colossians 2:9. To know Jesus is to know God. Compare this assurance of Jesus being all the revelation of God we require to another warning Paul has for the Colossians. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, not holding fast to the head. Some can think other teachings and further revelations are needed on top of Christ. Not so, says Paul. To place our trust in revelation beyond Jesus is to be cut off from Jesus. What makes our life rich together is having Christ and holding fast to him. And after describing these warnings to the Colossians, not to lose sight of the riches we have in Christ, Paul describes a congregation rooted in Christ, rich in him. It comes in Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Paul writes, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds together everything in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do you see our congregation described here? Do we see ourselves as holy and beloved of God? Are we clothed in such a way? Do we bear with one another and forgive each other? Is it the love of Christ that binds us together in perfect harmony? Is it the peace of Christ that rules in our hearts that makes us into this one body? Are we a thankful people? Does the word of Christ dwell in us richly? Do we sing and teach and do all these things in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God? The picture Paul paints is a congregation rooted in Christ, trusting in his riches for them, his church. And here are some ways I think we can participate in God's vision for Abbeydale Christian Fellowship to come to fruition. I think you can make this your prayer for this congregation. For example, we can pray that we would trust that God has chosen us, that he will make us holy, and that we are beloved by him. We can pray that all of our congregation's interactions will be marked by compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Something else we can do. I think we can be mindful of this passage when we gather together to worship, to celebrate, to grieve, to serve, to discuss, whether here in our homes we can remember that this is how we are to be together. This is a congregation living out its riches of Christ. So I'm going to challenge us all to memorize this passage. And here's why. This passage doesn't only cover the warm, fuzzy feelings and good times of our life together. We will have to bear with one another. We will have to forgive one another, remembering that Christ has forgiven us. And so when we are hurt or uncomfortable, it is particularly important to remember the call for this congregation to be rooted in Christ. I'm working on memorizing this, and I invite you to challenge me on this in the coming weeks. The church is God's sign of a restored way of being and living to a world that is lost and broken. So what does being rooted in Christ and rich in fellowship in Christ equip us to offer the lost and the broken? If you have your Bibles, here you can turn over to Hebrews 10. This passage is similar to Colossians 2, and its assurance of faith, the encouragement to hold fast to our hope, and the connection it makes between our faith and how we are to behave. There are two additional elements that I want to emphasize. The first, in Hebrews 10, is the imagery of the temple. The result of Jesus making a way for us to have full access to God is that we can have confidence by the blood of Jesus to enter God's presence, welcomed and unashamed. The closeness we enjoy with God in Christ Jesus is not just for our own sakes. It is also an opportunity and invitation for us to intercede for others as Christ, our great priest, intercedes on our behalf. Part of what we are equipped to do as the family of God, gathered in the name of Jesus, is to act as priests, interceding and drawing people and God together. Rooted in Christ, from the riches of our life together, we are equipped to appeal to God on behalf of people and appeal to people on behalf of God. The second distinct element of this passage is its call to consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We know that there is a coming day when Christ shall return and folks will find themselves either with God for eternity or apart from him. Our hope is that this day would come. For it is the day the kingdom will come fully, that the resurrected will be raised, and those who are in Christ will enjoy God and be enjoyed by him forever. Knowing that this is our hope, knowing this day is approaching, we are motivated to do good and loving deeds now. And we encourage each other in doing good deeds. Rooted in Christ from the riches of our life together, we are equipped to be catalysts in one another's lives for good and loving deeds. One more thought on good and loving deeds. When Jesus teaches of the approaching day in Matthew chapter 25, he teaches that there will be a judgment of all people. Some will hear his invitation, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." The rest will hear, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." The division, the distinction Jesus makes is based on how these people treated the hungry, the thirsty, the strangers, the naked, the sick, and the imprisoned. Both groups here were surprised that it was Jesus in these people. Those who responded with compassion are invited into the presence of God. Those who are not are sent into eternal hell. Both groups include those who call Jesus Lord. Good and loving deeds speak and point to the invitation and revelation of God in Christ Jesus. And Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all he has taught us, is eternally significant and ultimate. But I think we must hear within this commission to reach others with the good news of Jesus is responding with compassion to the physical needs as well. In fact, the way Jesus describes it sounds a lot like taking time to be hospitable. From Matthew 25, "I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Hospitality, acts of compassion go hand in hand with making disciples. Rooted in Christ and knowing the riches we have, equip us to be compassionate to those we encounter, responding and bringing relief and good news to the spiritually and the physically broken. In both the Hebrews passage and the Colossians passage, we are encouraged to be confident of our faith. In fact, we are encouraged to be so confident in faith that we increase in good works and love as the day approaches. From Jesus' own teachings, we know that as this day approaches, things are going to get worse before they get better. There will be persecution and famine and sword. And into this, we are called to encourage each other, one another, all the more as the day approaches. I think we can hear in here that our confidence in Christ moves us to be people who, even when things are very, very bad for us, are ever the more open, ever the more abounding in teaching others about Jesus and doing good deeds in his name, though it may cost us. The confidence we have being rooted in Christ and the riches of our life together allow us to be this way instead of being hostile, insular, and retreating. That is how we are equipped by our faith to reach out in loving and good deeds. The other side, I think, is that confidence in our faith does not lead to sledgehammer moments. Confident in the work of the Spirit, we can be humble and patient with others. Humble because we remember that the beginning of faith is to know that we were once lost and now found and still may be broken under the care of Jesus, our great physician, to make us whole. C.S. Lewis puts it this way: think of me as a fellow patient in the same hospital who have been admitted a little earlier could give some advice. Deep humility. And we can be patient because we have the confidence that the Spirit is at work. And we know that God's heart and desire is for all to come to repentance. Rooted in Christ, from the riches of our life together, we are equipped to be clothed in humility and patience. And all we do because of the great confidence we have in God. Ever more so, even if in doing so threatens our very lives. All this might seem daunting. Being rooted in Christ, having a rich life of fellowship together, and making known the good news to the lost and the broken. How are we going to do all this? Remember, the way we began is the way we go forward. It is the power of God to forgive us in Christ Jesus, and it is the power of God in Christ Jesus that will sustain us for his work, his mission, and his glory. Have confidence in this church. We can trust that God wants to bring us to this place. It is his goal for us. And if we are confident that God has the power to save, then he has the power to grow and sustain us as we are open to the Spirit's leading amongst us. My family, gathered in Christ Jesus, led by the Spirit and desiring God. As you go to make room in your lives and your calendars for hospitality and discipleship, trust that the power of God to save in Christ Jesus will root us in Christ Jesus with all the riches we ever need together to make known the good news of Jesus to the lost and the broken. Amen. Would you please rise for the benediction? From Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your hearts enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. Go in peace. Amen.